Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of the Cult Popture Podcast was brought to you by our Patreon. If you want to tell us which films we should watch, get up to 2 extra exclusive podcasts a month, give us something to talk about in the post-credits scene at the end of each episode, or join us for our monthly Movie Club Zoom call where we discuss a film together, then please consider joining the cult and donating at www.patreon.com/cultpopture.
What's up, cult? Members, no, that's actually a patron tier. So
yeah, it's your leaders here, which is also actually another cult, a patron tier.
Yeah. Hey, cult popture fans, this is AJ and Richard here at the top of what I'm sure you're very excited about is as a filler episode. if you aren't part of our Patreon, then this will just be maybe ever so slightly dated, but new content. We are sort of managing our time a bit coming into the new year, wanting to give ourselves a little break from all the
hustle and bustle of big podcasting.
Yeah, exactly. And so we thought we'd do a few episodes that would be easy to edit, sort of recycling old content as new.
Yeah, we're going on a little break.
Yeah, and we were going to do the most the dumbest looking movies we hope are coming out in 2021 this week. That'll be a two-parter, I imagine. But unfortunately, one of our hosts got sick, and
we're not going to say who.
But it wasn't either of us. And so we decided to push forward one of our Patreon sample packs as the episode that comes out this week. So that is what you're about to listen to now. This is a Patreon sample pack, meaning that you're about to hear two episodes that are from the Patreon exclusive bank. And we do we actually do 3 shows on our Patreon. Ooh. At the moment, though the third one is released to the public, and that is the Movie Club, which you can join if you want. That's on the Cult Classics tier. But if you want to just listen and not be involved in the Movie Club discussion, then we do have 2 other options. One is our Cult Member tier, which is the first podcast you're going to hear after we finish talking today, and that is called Film Franchise Follow-Ups, and that's when we take an old franchise that we've done and we find an extra piece of media, or maybe there's been an update, maybe a new movie came out, and we watch and discuss that so that we can have a better understanding and also explore franchises of old.
And this was this was a podcast idea we came up with when we came up with the podcast.
Yeah,
we were like, exactly. So we'll do this show called Film Franchise Fortnights, and then, you know, down the road, like, we could do Film Franchise Follow-Ups.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it came to fruition.
The Film Franchise Follow-Ups episode you're going to be listening to is from 2019. I'm not sure if that comes up in the episode, but if it does, there you go. And it is on a Choose Your Own Adventure Netflix special called Puss in Book. It's a spin-off of the Shrek/Puss in Boots franchise that we did all the way back in early 2017. We recorded it in 2019, and it was pretty fun, and I think it's a pretty fun showcase of what film franchise follow-ups can be. So we'll be back in the middle of the episode after you've listened to this one. Ooh. To introduce the next podcast from our Patreon, which you'll be listening to. So take it away, Puss in Boots. It's called something else. It's called like Puss in Book something tale. We'll talk about it in the episode. Hey,
hello,
everybody.
And
hey,
sorry.
Richard.
Hey, AJ. Sorry, I thought I was just doing this, but
You'd love to come along as well. And happy to have you, mate.
No, I'm actually got to go.
Okay. Should AJ stay or should he go?
Well, we're going to make the decision for you. Much like it was made for me in Puss in Boots.
Puss in Book?
Puss in... Oh, my God. Didn't notice that at all. It's called Puss in Book, Trapped in an Epic Tale. So this is Film Franchise Follow-Ups, as you know, and we were like, what should we do for Film Franchise Follow-Ups this month? And we thought it'd be cool, just for a little change, to do something different. And that different thing is a choose-your-own-adventure interactive Puss in Boots short film called Puss in Book.
Yep. So, how does this work?
Following on from the Shrek franchise,
How does it work?
So, if you've ever played Bandersnatch, it's like a good version of Bandersnatch. I'm kidding. I have no problem with Bandersnatch. And so, Puss finds a book, and he gets sucked inside it, and there's a storyteller, and he's like, you have to make decisions, you have to make choices. And then, like, they come up on the screen, and you click which one you want to do, or at least that's how it's supposed to work. I watched this on my phone in my bedroom at 3 a.m., and it just made the choices for me.
Like, could you not tap which one you wanted?
I could see the heads-up display. Like, I could see how it would work. But yeah, it just if I tap my screen, it came up with like what happens when you tap a screen normally.
Weird. Okay. Well, it worked fine for me, and so I got the other choices from you. So should we run through what it's about and get through it like that?
Okay.
Okay. So it starts off. Puss in Boots is fighting some people. And then he finds this book that's about his life, and he gets sucked in, and it's revealed that he has to, he's at the whim of the reader and the obnoxious storyteller who's someone trying to do a John Cleese impression.
Very clearly someone trying to do a John Cleese impression.
And so the first option you're given is, because a lot of them, the options are like, do you want to like help Puss in Boots, or do you want to, fuck over Puss in Boots? And so you, because you did by default, a lot of your ones are like the friendly ones to Puss in Boots.
Right.
So the first one was, do you want to fight a god or fight a tree? And so you fought a god. Yeah. And what happened?
Well, I think this is probably a good point to say that this is an episode of the TV show. This is an episode, like this is a special of the Puss in Boots Netflix series, which is called The Adventures of Puss in Boots. And it came out... Sorry, I am going to get to your question. It came out between seasons 4 and 5. And because of that, there are a lot of characters and references I did not understand, because they're from the show and not from the Shrek mythos nor the Puss in Boots movie.
Yeah, sure.
So when I fought a god, a character who must be someone in the show came out of the sky and started fighting, and he had like a wheel that was really powerful, and then Puss in Boots steals the wheel, and he's like, no, I'm powerless without my wheel, and then he shoots him, he hits him back up into the sky.
Nice.
So what happens when you fight a tree?
So you're treated to this action sequence of Puss fighting a tree and like scratching it, and then it's quite funny. Because there's like all these like close-up shots of him like scratching the bark and all the shit, and then there's just one of like Puss flying through the air away from it, like, and like the cat you know sound effect that's used everywhere, and then it ends with him like throwing his like lance at it, and then he's like, no, tree is a match for, and then the tree falls on him. Very funny. And then we're treated to what do you want to do next in the story? So do you want to visit a giant or be Goldilocks?
Yes.
Yep. So you visited a giant, I was Goldilocks.
I visited a giant and then it took me to Goldilocks.
Really?
Afterwards, yeah.
Interesting.
So the giant was, because I think the giant's the wrong choice.
Right, yeah.
So you visit a giant, and it's a giant pig who is a character from the show again.
It's funny because I didn't choose that, but it's you fly past him at the end of the story. So, and I was like, who's this?
Right. and he wants gum. He's like a little kid. I think he's one of the three little pigs. Right. Well, based on that. And he wants gum, and Puss in Boots is like, I don't have gum. And then he beats him up, and then he's like, can we go back? And the storyteller's like, yeah, let's try Goldilocks.
Okay. Yeah, so then you go, you transform into Goldilocks, and then he realizes that he has to live out the story of the three bears, Goldilocks and three bears, to get out of the book, because he realizes that he has to live out the book to escape it.
Yeah, and so, he does it in like 10 seconds, and it's quite funny.
Yeah, and so then the bears come home, and you get to choose whether the bears should be friends or foes.
Which is weird that you get to choose that. But once again, for me, it chose friends, but then it showed me foes afterwards.
Oh, really? Okay,
because again, I think friends is the wrong choice.
Yeah, see, I got foes. I just chose foes.
Right.
So what happens when you choose friends?
Well, there's the best joke in the whole thing. So they turn into friendly bears, and then one of them, the baby bear, grabs Puss in Boots, is like, oh, kitty, and starts playing with him really rough. And like in the background, baby bear is like causing havoc with like trying to ride on Puss in Boots and stuff. And in the foreground, Mama Bear and Papa Bear are just chatting about marriage stuff. And Mama Bear's like, well, Margaret back from the hospital now. And then the dad's, the Papa Bear, is like, oh yeah, how's her hip? And then she goes, why do you care so much about Margaret? and then you get thrown out a window, and then it goes, oh, the storyteller's like, I want to see what happens if they're foes. And Puss in Boots is like, what? In his best Antonio and Bandera impression. and then, so what is
yeah, so foes, they basically just come in and fight, and then it ends up that Puss leaves, and then this is, I think, where we're given the real two different versions of the story. Because you get to choose to go on either a pirate adventure or the Evil Queen adventure.
Well, actually, okay. So did you get, after I had to face them as foes, then I got to had to face them as interpretive dancers?
Yes.
Did you get that?
Wait.
It was like you tried them as friends, and then you tried them as foes, and then the storyteller's like, let's do it again, but as interpretive dancers. And then you watched an interpretive dance from the three bears.
Did you choose anything?
No.
No, interesting. Yeah, I didn't get that.
Yeah. It's just like a bonus for doing both of them, I guess.
Funny.
And it was like, Puss in Boots goes, he's not in it. He's like, I'm not even in this one. And he's like, you can't be enjoying this any more than I'm hating it. And he's like, you're right, let's go.
Yeah,
so then,
awesome.
then we go to the next one, which is what? It's a fight an evil queen or
go on a pirate adventure. So I chose pirate adventure. You chose evil queen.
Well, I didn't choose anything. The system essentially doesn't work if you're not Chromecasting it, I guess.
No, it doesn't work. You can't Chromecast it.
How do you do it then?
You can do it on PS4, you can do it on your desktop, you can do it on your phone.
I couldn't do it on my phone, I'd try.
Maybe just because you've got a real old phone.
It's not that old.
It's older than mine.
You just got a fucking new phone,
So, Pirate Cat. So, these are the choices I was given, because I imagine they're all different, so I'll just go through what happens in the end to the end of... Actually, no, you go first, because mine, I think, is probably the more long-winded and funny one.
All right, so I got to choose... I chose Evil Queen, and then a bunch of... they're supposed to be the seven dwarves, but they're just regularly proportioned knights, but they're as tall as Puss in Boots, run out of nowhere. And again, I think these are characters from Puss in Boots. And then they're like, you need to kiss Snow White to bring her back. And he's like, all right, I'll do that. And then they lift up the coffin, and Snow White is another character, I don't know who's like not Snow White, but someone that Puss in Boots doesn't like. And so I had to choose whether or not to kiss her or fight the Evil Queen. I think it picked Kiss Snow White for me. So you do that and then she marries you. And that's the like bad ending, is that you get married to her for eternity and have a bunch of kids, and it goes through all the kids that they have together.
Ooh.
And they're all like weird cat human hybrids. And then he's like, all right, let me try the other way. And I picked Evil Queen and fight the Evil Queen instead. And you go and do that, and then it turns out that, lo and behold, Richard, the Evil Queen is another character from the show that I wasn't aware of.
Wow.
Who I think is Puss's love interest, I think.
Ooh.
And because he tells the storyteller that this is a low blow or something like that. And funny. Then you fight her, and then I think you have to fight her, but it doesn't work, and then you get to... The choices are either fight her or kiss her, essentially. And if you, I remember what happened when you kissed her, because it was like this romantic thing, and there's an extended kissing scene. It's weird. and then the storyteller is like, well, you know, this story is finished, but you've got to live out every other story for the rest of your life. And then Puss in Boots fights. Like he like falls down a pit and then finds a hole in the paper and goes through where he discovers the true identity of the storyteller. But what happened in the pirate adventure before we get
Oh, wait, who's the, what's the true identity of the storyteller?
Did you not get that?
No.
Ah. Well, what happened in the pirate adventure?
Okay, so pirate adventure, you go and you set sail on a pirate thing and there's what I presume are characters from the show because he's annoyed by the fact that they show up. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, he says something that annoys the storyteller. I think they're going to start singing. And the storyteller's like, no, I hate singing. I'm going to send you to the jungle of really bad things that happen to you. And so he's like, how are we going to get there? And then they just fly off the ship. Like the ship hits something and they fall into this jungle where they meet like a giant golem. A half spider, half woman thing, and it's like a woman with the like iron spider legs, and Danny Trejo.
they just meet Danny Trejo.
Yeah, like pretty much. There's just one guy who looks a lot like and is voiced by Danny Trejo. and so then you have the option to either fight valiantly or drink tea, and so I drank tea with them. And then they kind of just sit there and they awkwardly drink tea for a little bit before just breaking into a fight anyway. And then you, again, I think, you know, you like get knocked out and fly to a new location, which is the desert. You like fall into the desert where you encounter a magic lamp, a genie's lamp. And then you get your first wish and you have the option to either wish for riches or a new hat. And so I wished for a new hat. And so he just gets this new hat and it's like identical to his old hat. It's not even like clean. and so then you have to, your wish is you can, then your second wish, you can either become a fish or wish for some rope. And I wished for some rope. And so this rope just dangles into frame and he like, you know, pats it and stuff because he's a cat. And, then turns out one of the guys that you fought at the start is holding it. And so they like tie you up to a cactus and whack you with fish. So I imagine that if you became a fish, you would have been on the other end of it or something. I don't know. And then you get your final wish. You can either free Puss in Boots or you can free the genie. And so I freed the genie, which meant that Puss then takes over the genie, so he becomes a genie and gets trapped inside the lamp, and then how does he manage to get out of the? He gets out of the lamp.
How's he gonna get out of this one?
He gets out of the lamp and decides that he's going to like make his own story. No, sorry. Sorry, I just
really how dare you get this wrong?
when you wish
the sacred texts.
When you wish. So with the wishing to free the genie and you get trapped inside the lamp, it then does the thing of like, oh, let's go back and see what would have happened because you're stuck here. Like, you know, that you failed. So you go back one choice and then, you wish to be free. You wish to get out of the book. And so the genie teleports you into the middle of space and then with the genie. And then
what does the genie look like?
It's just like an old dude with a big beard.
Yeah.
And he's voiced by he's from Animaniacs.
Rob Paulsen?
Nah, it's not him. It does sound a little bit like him, but it's a Joe Sugg, I think his name is.
Okay.
No, not Joe Sugg. He's a YouTuber. Anyway, it's yeah, but anyway, he you then use your head, having the strongest head bone to take over the book. So Puss in Boots thinks real hard and is able to become the new narrator of the book. And so he goes through and changes decisions you've made in the past to like annoy the storyteller. So you go back to the Three Bears and you get to decide if you want to do interpretive dance or flamenco. And I chose flamenco. And so he, you do this dance and the narrators, they'd be like, no, stop it, stop it. And then you go back to when you're on the pirate ship and you were about to sing, and now you can either sing a song about Puss in Boots or about trout. And I chose to sing a song about trout. And it's just like, trout, trout, they're smarter than sauerkraut. Like, it's real funny. And then finally the narrator has had enough. And the narrator says, all right, you can get out of the book, but just know, like, you wouldn't have been able to beat the Evil Queen. And then, anyway, here we go. And Puss is like, no, wait, what? I could have been there. And then he, like, draws shittily in the sand an Evil Queen or, like a scribble that he's like, I don't know what the ending looks like. So the ending, and he like lies down. He's like, what do you want to do? Like take me back to the Evil Queen. Take me back to the Evil Queen. Cause I think I can beat her. And then, but I chose ending. Cause I was like, I don't want to play the entire thing again. and then he, just gets out of the book, but then he like runs back and tries to get back inside the book to fight the Evil Queen.
Interesting. All right. Well, in my version, which is, fuck, this is a lot more in this than I thought. So yeah, he fights with the narrator, and then he, as I said, he falls down a pit, or he falls off a castle, and then accidentally tears a hole in the paper that makes up the book, and he goes through into this room, and finds the true identity of the storyteller, who lo and behold, Richard is a character from the TV show that I didn't know existed. He's a little mouse, and he's got like a stereotypical like big black guy voice.
Oh, Kevin Michael Richardson.
Is it?
I
don't know.
I'm almost 100% sure it'll be Kevin Michael Richardson. the voice of Gantu from the Lilo and Stitch series.
Right. Yeah, something like that. I can't remember. But he's like, how did you do that voice? And he's like, I can do lots of voices. And he proceeds to do a bunch of voices. And then I think you fight him and you beat him real easily and you get chucked out of the book. And as you leave, and then an old guy runs up to the book and he's like, oh, what's this? A Puss in Boots. The Adventures of Puss in Boots. And he gets sucked inside it. And that's the end of the book. I mean, nice. That's the whole thing.
All right, well, thanks for listening to us describe the plot of this Choose Your Own Adventure.
What did you think of it? Did you like it?
It had its moments, definitely, but the animations, definitely a massive step down.
My feeling with it was that feeling of, like, to return to the Shrek series and see this, it's like, I was gone for 5 minutes. What the hell happened? It kind of feels like that.
Donald Glover from Community coming back into the room.
Yeah. And it's so funny, man. It's like a spin-off to a spin-off because it feels less like we're returning to the Puss in Boots movie world and more like this whole new thing that's just using the iconic character to like.
Oh, in my ending, Puss in Boots learns how to fly as well.
Wow.
When he becomes an arrow, he's like, Puss in Boots gained the power of flight.
Nice. Yeah, I think What do you think of like interactive storytelling on Netflix?
It's quite fun. I mean, yeah, I loved Bandersnatch. I had such a good time with it. I stayed up for like hours just going through and choosing like every single possible like path that I could.
And obviously I would say this because I'm an adult and not a child, but I feel like Bandersnatch is by far the more interesting.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm sure there's some kids would disagree with you.
I would like to meet those kids and fight them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. This felt very simplistic and just kind of annoying. And maybe it's because I wasn't really into the.
Yeah, well, because you weren't allowed to choose anything.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, maybe for me, it was just like, "What's so good about this?"
Yeah, no, I had fun with it.
All right.
Calm
Why don't you
down,
fucking
dude.
Play it again then, dude?
Come
Why
on,
don't you...
it's just a game for kids, boy. Boy.
Yeah. Boy. So there, this
boy.
Show. Do you remember Puss in Boots and the Three Diablos?
Oh, yeah, vaguely.
It was like a short film that acted as like a... almost like a pilot for this series.
Yeah,
like
yeah, I do.
We should have
that.
Watched this as well.
Well, we didn't.
But
there is a Puss in Boots sequel coming out.
Yeah, that was announced recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was Nine Lives and 40 Thieves was supposed to be coming out last year. And then in November of last year, no, it's February. One of the Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse directors signed on to direct it. So it might be the best movie ever made.
Puss in Boots and the Three Diablos is only 13 minutes long. So maybe we could watch that another time. But this show, this TV show, this Netflix show, has been currently going for 78 episodes across 6 seasons from...
Yeah.
2015 to 2018, which is less than 6 years. So they've had a why are they separated like that? I don't know. So I imagine they for like season one they released them 5 episodes at a time.
Yeah. It's the show's finished as well. The 6th and final season was released last year.
Do you think? I hope it had a happy ending.
Should we Google look up how it finishes? The Great
last
Mage
episode.
Sino tells the full history of San Lorenzo and what Puss must do in order to save it.
Doesn't feel like an ending. That episode's called "And Having Writ Moves On," which is quite a cool name for a series title.
Yeah,
and like having that. Writ moves on. Cool. Well, what do we do now? Do we
let us know? Yeah. Well, why don't we let the listener decide? All right. Should I tell AJ he's a big stupid head, or should I give him a compliment?
Give him a compliment.
You're a big stupid head.
It was the wrong choice.
Yeah, the compliment was just that you're a big stupid head.
Great. That's all I needed. In honor of Puss in Boots, I'm actually, you can't see over the Skype, but I'm actually freeballing it right now. I'm just wearing my dressing gown. I've dressed up like Winnie the Pooh, or Puss in Boots, I guess, because I only had my boxers on when I went
to bed. I can't see on the Skype.
And they were too tight, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to freeball.
What would Puss want?
What would Puss want? What would
in
Puss
honor
do?
Of Puss in Boots, you're actually a massive pussy.
All right, well, thank you, everybody. Go play. I didn't even sound right saying play because I just watched.
Yeah, it's actually pretty fun. I mean, I guess you know what happens now, but
yeah,
maybe you don't.
Well, I'm intrigued by a lot of the stuff you told me can happen, so maybe I should go back and do that.
Yeah, and play it on your PS4 or something like that.
My PlayStation 4.
PlayStation 4 tune. So this was the it's worth noting as well that this was the first time Netflix did something like this as well. The
have they got any the interactive own, yeah, choose your own adventure. Have they got any more that they've planned, do you know?
I'm not actually 100% sure. Yeah, I think there is another couple of, what do you call it? Like you know, the Netflix, the like the Puss in Boots ones kind of thing. Mm. Let me just see, have a look at, see, choose your own. Oh yeah, no, they've got You Versus Wild, just like a Man Versus Wild, choose your own.
Oh yes,
thing.
Yeah, I did know about that. Yeah.
And a Minecraft story mode thing as well.
Well, excuse me, everybody. I've got to go play the Minecraft choose your own adventure thing.
In this interactive series, you'll make key decisions to help Bear Grylls survive, thrive, and complete missions in the harshest environments on Earth.
Imagine if Bear Grylls dies, like, on camera for real. Yeah. And you're like, wow.
Oh, so there's like 8 20-minute episodes of that.
Nice.
That's awesome.
It's good stuff. I might even one day think about trying in a group with some friends.
And be like, kill Bear Grylls.
We had chips and dip the other day because was like, when was the last time you guys had chips and dip?
When was the last time you had chips and dip?
Well, it was 2 days ago now.
Well, we were before that.
Not for ages.
Really? I love chips and dip. What kind of dip?
I don't know. Someone else made the dip. It was just
I love I love a good kiwi onion dip.
Yeah, I think that was what
fuck
it was.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And I bought sour cream and chives chips.
Nice.
Which is quite controversial, apparently.
Yeah. Someone...
my favorite flavor.
We have chip... Yeah, but you don't like salt and vinegar.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone can like salt and vinegar.
Because it's delicious.
It just hurts. It just hurts your mouth. It's like vinegar, so it like eats away at your skin, and then it's salt, which hurts the skin.
Ow, the salt, it hurts my skin. Salt vinegar is good. We have drinks and chips on Fridays at work, and someone was like, grabbed a bag and was like, how good are green onion chips? And everyone was like,
really?
No one backed them up.
Green onion would be in my top three.
Easily. I mean, they're fine. I don't know.
My top three in no particular order are sour cream and chives, green onion, and ready salted. And I acknowledge that ready salted is a weird choice, but it's
no ready salted is a good blank canvas, especially if you're having dip. Salt and vinegar is the number one.
No, I feel like the world is against me on this.
Yeah, they are.
I'm the guy who said that the Earth revolves around the sun.
No,
you know what
I'm
I mean? Not. You know that poster in the first episode of Fargo, that's the fish going against the other fish, and it says, what if you're right and they're wrong? That's how I feel. You guys are all on the wrong side of history. I'm the equivalent of the first white person to say that slavery is wrong. I'm a hero. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to this Patreon episode of Film Franchise Follow-Ups. Let us know what we should do next. Do we have plans for October? What was the plan?
Yep.
What are we doing next
week? We're going to watch the 6-episode reboot of Scream, the TV series, which, because only 6 episodes, I've seen the first 2 seasons and Christmas and Halloween special, whatever it was, but this is the season that brings back the iconic Ghostface mask, and it's an anthology thing as well, so we don't need to have seen the previous seasons.
It really flew under the radar, or has it not come out yet?
No, it came out.
It really flew under the radar.
Because they... Yeah, there was a whole big part of the Weinstein scandal like affected it, and it was filmed like 2 years ago, but they just came out and they just dumped it over 3 nights. We can talk about that more next month.
Okay.
All right. Do you want us to say goodbye, or do you want us to go over the Puss in Boots thing in more detail?
They want us to go over the Puss in Boots thing in more detail.
We open on a...
This is horrible. Goodbye.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Film Franchise Follow-Ups.
I did.
Well, thank you.
Talking
I'm glad. And now you're going to be listening to our $10 tier Patreon reward, which is a podcast we like to call generic_movie_podcast.exe.
And this is on our cult leader tier.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to find this, join our cult leader tier for generic_movie_podcast.exe.
Often abbreviated to GMP.
And yes, this is a podcast where we take suggestions for films to watch. It has to be a film that does not have any sequels, is not part of a franchise in any way, otherwise it would qualify for film franchise fortnights. And yeah, we put up a post on the Patreon for that is only visible to the $10 and above patrons, and they comment a bunch of movies they'd like us to cover, and the one with the most likes will be covered. And sometimes, you know, that can change. It's very interesting to watch it fluctuate throughout the month. There's been an occasion recently where we started watching a movie that, and then realized it hadn't won, and yeah, then had to change. But you're not listening to that episode. What you're listening to, what you're about to listen to, is one of the classics of GMP, which is 13 Going on 30, Mark Ruffalo's breakout role in 13 Going on 30.
Nice. I think I'm supposed to be annoyed that you said that, but I can't remember if
well,
that
let's
was
find
part
out
of it. Alrighty.
What's up, patrons? Welcome along to another episode of Generic Underscore Movie Underscore Podcast.
Hello. How are you all?
I'm good. Sorry to talk over you, audience. here's the only ad-free Cult Popshire podcast. Apart from YouTube, I guess.
That's true. don't tell Acast that. But who wants to watch listen to a podcast off YouTube? It's so much less convenient.
Yeah.
Unless some people do listen off YouTube. And then,
in which case,
then,
I love you.
Yeah, yeah. YouTube gets us like almost all of our comments anyway. So
yeah. Well, anyway, we're here today to talk about the movie 13 Going on 30, or if you're from some countries, you'll know it as Suddenly 30.
Really?
So this was suggested by, I believe, Brianna.
Mm. Hey, so Brianna.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for suggesting this. And yeah, what's it about, mate?
It's sort of. It's almost like come to be the quintessential body switch movie, even though it's not really a body switch. It's about a 13-year-old girl who wishes she was one of the popular girls, and then she wishes so hard and some magical dust falls on her and she wakes up and it's 27 years later. No, 17 years
17
later,
years later.
And she's 30 and she's like, cool, I'm 30 now.
Yeah. She will, and then she finds out that she's not that great of a person.
Yeah.
And she's now friends with the like lead bully, and her best friend from when she was 13 is now Mark Ruffalo. And
she's Jennifer Garner.
They've kind of lost their way.
Yeah. And so she sort of sets out to fix up her life in a way that only the wide-eyed wonderment of some uncorrupted 13-year-old can do.
Mm. And yeah. So let's get through this movie. So it stars Jennifer Garner, and then as the grown up Jenna.
Yep.
And then you also have, as we mentioned, Mark Ruffalo and Judy Greer play like the grown up versions. So also you may have noticed there's a few MCU actors in this film, because you got Judy Greer obviously from Ant-Man, Mark Ruffalo is the Hulk. Andy Serkis is Claw. Oh. He's also in this movie. And Brie Larson is Captain Marvel.
Who's she?
Brie Larson is in this film for 10 frames as one of the six chicks. So there's the clique of girls that bully Jenna. The one
as
on the
a,
right
as a 13-year-old
is Brie Larson.
Oh, wow. Cool, cool. Jim Gaffigan is also in this movie.
Yeah, as like the unappealing version of what her crush from when she was 13 grows up to be.
And he, of course, plays Tony Stark in the MCU.
Mm, yeah, of course.
Jim Gaffigan's Tony Stark.
But yeah, so that's a fun little fact for you. Ashley Benson is also one of the six chicks.
Who's that?
She's an actress. I feel like she's been...
Don't you get it? Ben's son?
Yeah.
She's the killer.
She was the lead in Bring It On, Bring It to Win It. In it to
oh,
win,
cool.
So we watched this movie, and did we enjoy it?
No, not really.
Yeah, this is still another movie of that nostalgic kind of, but not super into. I guess I don't mind it. It's watching the movie for some weird reason. I just so distinctly remember the scenes that were in the trailer from this movie.
Yeah. Well, on a similar kind of thought, I feel like 13 Going on 30 has stayed in the pop cultural kind of headspace for a long time, despite the fact that I'd seen it once when I was 10.
And yeah, despite the fact that you'd seen it once, it managed to... In spite of that.
Yeah, no, I'm more mean like, I feel like people reference 13 Going on 30 as a concept, but no one gets too specific.
Yeah, I guess just because of the title as well.
Yeah,
like,
that's, I think that's what it is.
And 13 Going on 30 is a much better title than Suddenly 30. I don't know why they changed it. Like, I don't know what the problem is with that, you know, makes people change it. But yeah, so... Oh, what to say about this movie?
Going 13 going on, like going on is an offensive term in some countries.
Yeah. Australia is one of the countries I'm pretty sure that's called Suddenly 30. But yeah, so one thing I want to bring up about this film. So when Jennifer Garner's Jenna Rink is, you know, older, she reconnects with Matt Flamhaff, who is Mark Ruffalo, and he's engaged to be wed. And seems, you know, reasonably happy in his relationship. And then on the day of his wedding, she manages to go back in time to when she was 13 and then, you know, properly pursue Matt. And then we flashes forward to when they're 30 again and they've, you know, grown old together. Couple things with that. One, it's mentioned earlier in the film that she got a nose job, but she still has the new nose in the alternate future we see at the end. So I don't know, she just got the same nose job again. But also I feel like we're not shown enough that Mark Ruffalo is like unhappy in his marriage and his engagement.
I'm so glad you brought this up, Richard.
Yeah, because it's just kind of like, oh yeah,
Jenna Rink, you are the bad guy for this. You know, you are not the hero by stealing someone's fiance. That was one of my main issues with the film, because
like if they made her cheat on Mark Ruffalo or something like that, you know, that justifies it. Yeah, sure.
But also, they fell out of their friendship broke up after, like, when they were 13. Like, she became one of the popular six chicks, the seventh sixth chick, when they were 13. Like moments after when she flashes forward to the future in the original timeline, and so Richard, if I had a friend,
say me,
who was a girl.
Oh, say Jeremy.
No, all right. If I had a friend named Jenna, it doesn't matter what her name is. When I was 13, and you know, it was clear that I had a crush on her, and it was clear that you know, anyone looking at us would see that I was protective. You know, I felt protective of her, and you know, saw like worship the ground she walked on.
There's
and
a dozen girls that actually would fit this description for you.
Exactly, and you know, the coolest thing about her is that she doesn't even know she's beautiful, just the way she is. That kind of 13-year-old nobility that like. Only, you know, only 13-year-olds think is noble.
Yeah.
And then when we were 13, she really hurt my feelings, became a popular girl, and I never became friends with her again. Okay? If that happened, and then 17 years later, that girl comes back into my life while I'm engaged, I wouldn't give a shit. I wouldn't have any, like, you know what? She wasn't enough of like the one that got away, or enough of like the most important person in his life in that original timeline for it to be in any way justified that he would, you know, risk his marriage, his upcoming marriage for her. They didn't have strong, like,
what if the girl came up to you and managed to somehow prove that she missed the last 17 years, because that does happen in the film.
I don't know. I maybe I would be friends with him, but I definitely wouldn't let it, like, affect my marriage, which should be more important. I don't know. And like, this is of course on Matt as well. Like, really, yeah. he's kind of the shittiest guy because he's knowingly cheating on his fiance with a girl he somewhat believes is 13
years old. Yeah.
So like, it's a lot of it falls on him as well. But my point being is like, the movie doesn't seem to be aware of this because they're painted as the protagonist, the good guys. But in real life, like, I'm barely friends with anyone I was friends with when I was 13, and I don't think 13, maybe if it was like, if they'd stayed friends till like they were 17 or 18, then maybe there's a bit more concrete there. But the way it stands, I was like, I cannot relate to this at all, because I would not care about a 13-year-old girl who broke my heart when I was 13.
You say that. I feel like you would.
I wouldn't anymore, and certainly not by 30.
Yeah. You are closer to 30 than 20 now, too.
I know. And I feel like I have more credence to say this.
Well, maybe when you get to my age. Yeah. 26, but slightly older.
I literally just got to your age.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but... yeah, I don't know. I think their relationship in the film doesn't feel too forced. So my main issue is that, yeah, they need to shitify his Matt's fiance somehow.
Yeah. And they do a little bit.
But not really. Like, nothing enough. Wrong. It's just like, it's more just like wedding day nerves. It's nothing like, oh, well, because he does say he doesn't believe in true love at one point. Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe in like true love or having like one person. So it's like, I guess that's kind of like, you know, I don't know. But then maybe he's lying and he secretly does. Mm-hmm. And he always thought Jenna was his true love.
Yeah, but if you... That just makes him a fucking loser.
Yeah, like, if you thought 30 years old and thinking about this girl you like when you're 13.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the whole thing serves to teach Jenna, 13-year-old Jenna, an important lesson, which is cool. It's just there's a lot of mucky kind of ethics in there, because she in her, as her actual 30-year-old self, she finds out that she's like part of an affair with a married man, and she herself is engaged, and you know, and it's like all of the stuff she feels real bad about, but then she goes and does the same thing with grown-up Matt, even though
but it is weird, because it's like, knowing what she knows now, should she like not pursue Matt because she knows that he ends up with some other chick?
Yeah, maybe, and maybe that too. Like,
but
you know,
then, but then it's like he doesn't believe in true love, so it's like, and yeah, like it is weird because it's not breaking up a marriage; she's just preventing it from ever existing.
Yeah,
which isn't really that bad. Like,
accidental existential questions from 13 going on 30.
Like every time someone gets married, you're preventing that person from marrying someone else in the future.
Yeah, that's true. I have another kind of similar point I wanted to bring up. There's a part in the film where Jenna and her best friend, who was the bully when they were 13, I can't remember her name.
Lucy.
They're at a bar, and then Lucy's like, oh, that guy behind you has been checking you out
this
all
was
night.
A trailer moment, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and she's like, oh, really? She's like, oh, my God, okay. And you see, like, this kind of Clive Owen type. It looks like Clive Owen, which is why I say Clive Owen type. In fact, for a second, I was like, I didn't know Clive Owen was in this movie. Clearly, he's going to be a main character from here on out. And she's like, you should go talk to him. She's like, you know what, I will. And she turns around, she walks right past the Clive Owen type up to a 13-year-old boy and is like, hey, so you're pretty cute. And he's like, oh, you want to go out? And before the conversation can continue, Lucy grabs her and takes her away. Now, this is an interesting implication, because are we watching a movie now where the main character is just straight up a pedophile? Is this the main character? Is this the character we're supposed to invest in? Because, you know, the format of Big, and yeah,
right,
as we
so
see,
are you just saying that like pedophiles are just like 13-year-olds stuck in adult bodies?
I'm saying,
and that's why they're attracted to children.
I'm saying, had Jenna gone uninterrupted, she would have had a romantic date with a 13-year-old boy. I'm saying, what do you think, Richard? You know, because
I think this is a very special circumstance.
Listen, officer, this is a very special circumstance. Because, like, with all these, like, the subcategory of the subcategory that is body switch movies, there's the ones that are like the character changes age. You know, you got big, you've got 17 again.
Yeah, Freaky Friday, yeah.
Freaky Friday. You've always got
actually, I was joking, but they do change ages as well.
Yeah, but I mean, that's more a body switch
thing. Yeah.
There is always that creepy scene, like in Big, he straight up like has sex with someone, even though he's like 13. And this, I mean, at least you can't be like, oh, imagine if Big, but if the genders were reversed, it wouldn't be able to air. But it's like, yeah, this kind of is what it is, and that kind of does kind of happen at some point.
Yeah,
maybe not as far, but like, yeah, there is actually it is kind of creepy that this girl who's like with the mind of a 13-year-old is such an object of desire, but for a couple of characters.
Yeah, it was Jennifer Garner in 2004.
Yeah. The one nice thing I can say about this movie is it's really fun to see Jennifer Garner play quite a eccentric role, I think.
Yeah.
Because at the time, the only thing I was familiar with her with was Alias, which is quite serious.
Mm.
And so it's always called, you know me, I love a good fish out of water character.
You moment. Do. Oh my God, you will not shut up about it.
Mm. And so it's cool to see her be that, I guess. But overall, it's a pretty standard movie with some very scary implications, as we've discussed.
Yeah. So, fun facts about this film.
Mm-hmm.
Director Gary Winnick died in 2011.
Cool.
That's all I've got.
What else did he direct?
He made Charlotte's Web, Bride Wars.
Oh, very on brand for 13 going.
Yeah, I don't know. Mark Ruffalo didn't know that Brie Larson was in it. There's a video of him finding out on the red carpet, which is quite funny.
Cool. If I can move us along.
Please do. At the 4-minute mark of this podcast, I was like, how do we normally keep talking for so long? I'm out of things to talk about.
Andy Serkis is in this film.
Yeah, because as
the boss of the magazine company that Jenna works for. And when Andy Serkis did his iconic roles video, last year.
Yeah, the GQ actor breaks down their iconic roles videos, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. One of the ones he talked about was 13 going on 30. And at the time, I was like, Jesus, this really, like, emphasizes how lacking Andy Serkis's career is when it comes to, you know, because in Mark Ruffalo's breaking down iconic roles, he probably wouldn't talk about 13 going on 30.
I disagree.
Jennifer Garner might, but... You think Mark Ruffalo would talk about 13 going on 30?
Yeah, 100% yes.
Why?
Why wouldn't he?
You know why he wouldn't. What? He has better movies to choose from. Nah. He has more iconic roles. That's the name of the series.
Nah, that's definitely an iconic Mark Ruffalo
role. It is not an iconic. How is this?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That is 100% an iconic Mark Ruffalo role. Fuck, we're doing this, aren't we?
How Mark do you do it?
Ruffalo movies. All right. Okay. Mark, you Google Mark Ruffalo movies. Avengers Endgame. The Avengers. 13 going on 30. That's the order they put them in. And then Now You See Me. What else is Mark Ruffalo in that, like, name the 15 films that Mark Ruffalo's role is more iconic. The MCU counts as one. Which are more iconic than 13 going on 30.
Zodiac.
Yep.
I'd need to look at a list of his films, but I feel like that's fair.
Nah.
Why? Why is it not fair?
No, it's not. So you got Zodiac, Now You See Me, Begin Again, Shutter Island, Spotlight, Just Like Heaven, which is on the same
more iconic
thing.
Eternal Sunshine. Listen,
if you, yeah, exactly, absolutely. If you ask me,
it's not like we've named like, oh my gosh, he's got such a like, you know, dense filmography of iconic roles that like the movie that made him a household name isn't gonna make the cut.
If you had asked me 2 weeks ago, before 13 going on 30 was anywhere in my mind, you know, it hadn't been suggested and we didn't know we were going to watch it. If you had said to me, what's an iconic Mark Ruffalo role, 13 going on 30 wouldn't be in the top five or six I'd name.
That sounds like more of a you thing than a society thing.
What?
You ask anyone... what like to name iconic Mark Ruffalo movies within the first five or six, they're going to name 13 going on 30.
What a claim. With such confidence as well.
And also, like, of course he's going to mention it in his iconic roles video because it's literally, like, that was his breakout role.
Was it?
Yeah, okay, let's look at Mark Ruffalo's filmography. Okay, what do you have? So Eternal Sunshine and 13 going on 30 came out in the same year. Before that, he had In the Cut, View from the Top, I don't remember being there, My Life Without Me, Wind Talkers, Apartment 12, The Last Castle, Committed, You Can Count on Me, Ride with the Devil, A Fish in the Bathtub, How Does Anyone Get Old, 54, Safe Men, The Last Big Thing, okay. Blood Money Dentist, The Destiny of Marty Fine.
What came out after? And because then, you can have a breakout so 13 role going on after 30,
and then immediately after that, he Collateral, Just Like Heaven, Rumor Has It, All the King's Men, Zodiac, like... His career massively took off, not only after 13 going on 30, but because of 13 going on 30. Wow. I will not sit here and have you say that Mark Ruffalo wouldn't mention 13 going on 30 in his iconic roles video.
Shall we tweet
this
him
is
and
the
ask?
Most angry I've ever been on the podcast. This is, oh God. God, so stupid.
Look, can we all at least agree that Andy Serkis is pathetic for mentioning it?
I disagree again. I watched the video and you talked and because you told me like you messaged me like this is like half an hour long and he spent 10 minutes of it talking about 13 going on 30. And he's got quite a fun role in it and it's like again it was just one of his first because it came out right after Principal Photographer after the Lord of the Rings trilogy had finished. And let me just look at Andy Serkis's filmography.
No. I'm not saying you've misunderstood my moot. I am not saying Andy Serkis should have talked about other movies, which is what I was saying with Mark Ruffalo. I'm saying Andy Serkis does not have enough movies to have done a half an hour long iconic characters video.
I disagree. Because I watched that video. It's also only like 20 minutes as well. Let's you know, not get too ahead of ourselves.
You said 30 minutes. I was going off your point.
No, I was going off because you told me it was 30 minutes and you spent 10 minutes talking about 13 going on 30.
If you said, what
it's
would
like
you love
20
to hear?
Minutes and it's like 2 minutes about 13 going on 30. But it's because he did the Lord of the Rings trilogy and King Kong. And in between that, he made 13 going on 30. And it's just like this funny little comedy that he got to do after doing all these serious films, and I think he really enjoyed doing that, and I can understand 100% why he would want to talk about that.
All right.
And I don't think it makes him pathetic.
I think all of this just comes from my original statement, which you also disagreed with, which was this movie, I guess sort of what I was saying is this movie has no right to have stayed in the public consciousness for as in, like it's endured.
Nah, this film is like iconic for a generation, and like the amount of people our age that have seen this film is billions.
What a nothing statement. None of that changes.
If it wasn't for the Hulk, 13 going on 30 would be Mark Ruffalo's most iconic role. I'm saying it. That's true. I'm sorry. Maybe Just Like Heaven, I could give you that, but they're pretty much the same, you know, they're on the same kind of level, I would say.
If you go to Mark Ruffalo's Wikipedia page, does it say what his breakout role was?
Let's see.
Because he's not particularly remarkable in 13 going on 30. I don't know why it would be his breakout role, because usually a breakout role is like quite an impressive or iconic performance.
It says he gained international prominence by playing the Marvel Comics character Bruce Banner / the Hulk.
Right. Okay. You said that like it proves your point.
No, I'm just saying it's... I just said it matter-of-factly.
All right. Shall we move on to something else? I feel like you're very upset with me.
I am.
But we all like Mark Ruffalo.
I love his iconic role in 13 going on 30.
Do you love it? Do you love his role in 13
going on
30?
Yeah, I do. I love this movie and I love Mark Ruffalo. I'm sorry.
You
I wanted
do not
to,
love
I
this
wanted
movie.
To just match your energy, but I do love this movie. Fuck you.
You do not.
Fuck you. I do love this movie.
What do you love about it?
Oh, it's just a fun movie and it's a great Mark Ruffalo role.
No, stop mentioning Mark Ruffalo.
Okay. Jennifer Garner's good. I find this 25
minutes into a conversation which began with both of us being like, yeah, it's not that great. You're telling me that you think it's good now.
Yeah, I do.
I think you just want to hurt my feelings.
Should we see how much I get? Because I logged it on Letterboxd. Follow me on Letterboxd, RMPM, which is my initials, by the way. 13 cool, going man. On 30. I gave this 3.5 stars.
Out of what?
5.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's above average.
All right.
It's just a fun nostalgic movie for me, and I enjoy watching it, and I liked finding out that Brie Larson was in it. It's, you know, it's one of those movies that it takes a couple of watches to pick everything up, because it's so dense and clever, and Mark Ruffalo is great in it. And actually, that's probably the role that made me realize who Mark Ruffalo was.
I actually agree. I think Mark Ruffalo, I recognized him from movies like this.
Yeah, so of course he'd fucking mention it in his iconic roles video. What good content. It's a shame we're wasting this on the Patreon.
What? let's let them... patrons, all right. This is our piece.
Should we do a poll? That's would Mark Ruffalo mention?
I don't think we need to do a poll. I think just comment on the post on Patreon. What is Mark Ruffalo's most iconic role? No, his break after Hulk. That's the question. After Bruce Banner / the Hulk, what is Mark Ruffalo's most iconic role? Yes, can we agree on that?
Yes.
Okay, so leave your comments. Leave your thoughts in the comments on this post, and I'll be interested to see what people think. Other than that, though, I'm probably done talking about all of these things.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy to call it there.
All right. Thank you very much for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time on Generic Movie Podcast. Thank you. Okay, that was the GMP on 13 going on 30, a sentence which would sound like complete nonsense to the uninitiated, but you are no longer the uninitiated.
Now
so if you
know.
Are a listener, yeah, exactly. If you are a listener of Cult Popsha and you have never joined our Patreon, that is a little
insulting.
Sample to
That is a little insulting that you wouldn't do that.
No, it's fine. But it's a little sampler to maybe whet your appetite for donating and joining the Patreon, which you can do over at patreon.com/cultpopsha. And if you cannot support us monetarily, that is absolutely fine. One of the other ways you can support us is by liking and commenting and sharing on all our content on our Facebook or our YouTube or our Instagram or our Twitter. And you can also join our Discord, which there is a link to in the description of this podcast. Highly recommend the Discord. It is where the walls between podcast host and podcast fan completely crumble. We'll attack each other's character in the middle of a Discord.
Even just each other's. We'll attack your character and you attack ours.
We'll reveal personal details, private secrets, all sorts of things. So if you want to get involved in that and actually talk to us like real people instead of this weird one-way conversation we've got going, and I know that there is a hefty majority of regular listeners, according to the stats, who have never reached out, then this is your chance to do just that, and come and join us and talk to us, because we'd love to meet you. I'll give you a virtual kiss on the cheek and welcome you in to the Cult Popshire Discord. But other than that, that is the episode for this week. I imagine we'll probably be back next week with the dumbest looking films we hope are coming out in 2021. But who knows?
Who knows?
Someone else could be sick.
Yeah, not us.
No,
though.
Not us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.